We hear this story, and the question becomes, who did this? So many different actors playing their part, playing their role. Who did this? You have Judas from the beginning, a trusted follower of Jesus, one of the 12 closest to Jesus, one who'd followed him for many years, one who had heard Jesus speak, had heard him, had watched him multiply fish and bread, had seen him heal the sick and raise the dead, had heard him teach, who saw him rise early in the mornings to go and be with the Father. One who was there, who when Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount, was among the crowds when Jesus taught. And yet on this night that we read about, for a few pieces of silver, for whatever other motivation that he had, he betrays his master and his Lord and his teacher and his king, and accompanies soldiers to see him arrested. But Judas didn't do this. And then you have the Jews, represented by Caiaphas, the high priest, and the Jews that called for the death of Jesus, that these whom saw firsthand the miracles of Jesus, who heard him teach in the temple, who saw him heal the sick, those who knew who he was, who saw him act, who knew the prophecies, who knew the law, that knew all of the Old Testament, how it all pointed forward to this one who would come, this Jesus, this Messiah, this Son of David, who would reign, who would conquer sin and death and see the earth filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. Who sung psalms that told of the greatness of the King who was to come. As children told stories and heard stories at the feet of their fathers. Who promised, who accounted the promises of God that one day the Christ would come, the Messiah would come, the Anointed One would come, and who would conquer all of their enemies. And on the events that we remember tonight, they called for the blood of this Jesus to be on their own heads. They cried out to a foreign king to kill their king. They demanded his blood. They exchanged the life of the Son of God for the life of a robber and a zealot. But the Jews didn't do this. What about Pilate? This Roman governor, for the sake of expediency, had Jesus flogged and had Jesus killed, who hands him over to be beaten and mocked by his soldiers. Fearful that a riot would begin and his name would be dragged through the mud in Rome. Who snidely asks in the face of this Jesus, what is truth? Who confesses with his own lips to the crowd wanting Jesus' blood, I see no fault in him. Pilate didn't do this. And so some, Paul even references the principalities and powers that they killed Jesus, that on this night a war was declared and the principalities and powers and ultimately Satan himself killed Jesus. Powers that drive this world, that lead this rebellion against the God of the universe, maybe they killed Jesus. They didn't do this. So some in our day say, well, we killed Jesus. all of our sins, our rebellions against the God of the universe, our hatred of his authority and his reign and his goodness. All true. But we didn't do this. Listen as I read Isaiah 53. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent. So he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord. God did this. Judas didn't do this. The Romans didn't do this. The disciples who abandoned Jesus didn't do this. Ultimately, you and I didn't do this. Satan didn't do this. Jesus wasn't snuck away in the night and murdered while the Father looked the other way. It was the will of the Lord to crush him. When you hear this story, you shouldn't stop with just a political drama where the political authorities of the day snuck Jesus away and killed him. You should see in it that the cosmic outpouring of the very wrath and cursing of God against Jesus. He was cursed who hangs upon a tree. Father did this. And he did it for us. I had a conversation with my son last night about Maundy Thursday and the last meal and then anticipating today, Good Friday. And he said, "We celebrate a sad day tomorrow, Daddy." And then he asked, why do we celebrate a sad day? And I told him this, that because of our sins, we're not the children of God. That because of our sins, we can't be the friends of God. That because of our sin, we are God's enemies. Because God is a good God and a good king, that makes us evil. And because God is good, and because he's a good king, and because we're evil, God has to punish us. He has to ultimately destroy us. But tomorrow night, we celebrate the night. Tonight, we celebrate the night that Jesus became the enemy of God in our place. That Jesus took all of our sin for us so that we might become the children of God. It was the will of the Lord to crush him so that you and I won't remain God's enemies, but we might become his children. This is the cost of our sin. And this is the unsearchable weight of God's love. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, I want you to sit and reflect, and think, and feel. And then when you're ready, there'll be three stations up here. In silence, we'd ask you to come forward and take the bread and dip it in the wine and remember. Remember that tonight everything changes. And then we'd ask you to leave the building in silence and to spend the next day remembering, reflecting. Maybe read this story over again. Read Isaiah 53. Reflect and pray. And then on Sunday, as we gather, may we gather and celebrate all that this night accomplished. The destruction of death. The atonement for sin. And the birth of a whole new world.